Okay, James 2:14. And last week we looked at the way of love, and we saw that how vital that was and how real it must be. Love has to be expressed, and it has to be the love of God. That perfect law of love that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. There's a wellspring of love that comes from the heart of God and is pouring out. The Bible says by His Spirit He's poured out the love of God in Romans chapter 5. Are you receiving all that love? Because if you are, I can tell you what will happen. If you're really being filled with the love of God, then the love of God is going to overflow out of your life towards others. Not bitterness, rancor, hatred, envy, strife, gossip, and all that kind of garbage. Instead, love becomes part and parcel of your experience. And James continues on with this because faith and love are entwined together. We know that love is based on the truth. It's not based on a lie. But there has to be the exercise of faith, because without faith it's impossible to please God. And so he moves on to this here in James 2:14. And he says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Well, you've heard me say over and over again that you cannot work for your salvation. Now, is the Bible being contradictory? Some people might say it is. But when you take a good look at what the scripture says, for example, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says this. Now notice carefully, by grace you have been saved. Now grace is what? Anybody define grace for me?
Favor.
Undeserved favor. By undeserved favor you have been saved. Through what?
Grace.
No, through?
Faith.
Through faith, okay? You've been saved by the undeserving favor of God, you have been saved. But it is through faith. And that is none of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is God's gift. Even faith itself is something that we need from God. And then he says in Ephesians 2:9, it is not of works. You are not saved by your works. Why? Because then you could boast. If I was saved by what I did when I get to heaven, I could say, well, Lord, you know that I preached all these years and that's given me a feather in my cap. There's no feathers in my cap. It is by the grace of God, by depending on Him, that's what faith is, it's depending on God, that I am saved. It is not by works. Is that plain?
Yes.
That's very plain. Okay, so I want to lay that foundation as we go back to James, because James almost sounds like it is, but we'll see that that's not the case. But notice what it says in Ephesians 2:10. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what?
Good works.
For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, because Ephesians says we are not saved by works, he doesn't throw works out the window. He actually tells us that we have been saved by grace through faith for good works. Does that make sense? That's the purpose. You know, who would build a car that they would never be able to sell? Who would build a car that would never be driven? Now, that's happened a few times in the history of car making, hasn't it? And maybe there's a certain car comes to mind. None comes to my mind right now. But there were sometimes they built cars and they were an absolute flop. They never went anywhere. I think there was one called the Edsel, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
1 year, 61.
In 61, they built the Edsel. They didn't build it in 62.
No, they built it in 58, 59, 60.
Was it? Okay. But the reality is that you wouldn't go through all of this effort to get something done that would just do nothing. I mean, lots of times it does happen, and failures in business and everything else does happen. But God, when He designs to save you by grace through faith, it's not for nothing. It's for something. And we discover what it is. We are His workmanship. We are the work of God. That's what God has done. You're a work of God. You know, some people say you're a work of something else, but you're a work of God, right? A piece of work. Isn't that what it is? You're a piece of work. I was trying to think of what that was, right? You're a work of God, and He has created you in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to know, when this is talking about this, He's not just talking about when you were created, as you know, when you were conceived and born and come into the world. You were created in Christ Jesus. If any man is in Christ, they become what? A new creation. A new creation. You've been created. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become born again, you become a new creation, and you are created in Christ Jesus for good works. That is not a side note. That is the plan and the purpose of Almighty God, and God has already prepared beforehand what they are. He's already prepared beforehand. Now that tells me, wow, shouldn't we be kind of keeping in touch with Him? You don't just say, okay, now I've trusted Christ as my Savior, I go out in my life, and I'll check in with God just before I die. That's not the case. I need to be checking in with Him every day because He has good works prepared beforehand. He's got good works planned for me this very single day. What that might be may be different for every one of us. It might be just going over and giving a hug to someone who's hurting. It might be a kind word. It might be a word of prayer with somebody. It might be seeing someone and praying for them. It might be all of those things. It might be picking up your grandchild and giving her a hug. It could be all of those things. God has given us good works to perform for our lives. So you're not left like orphans. You're not left without. You have this privilege of doing these good works. I'm going to give you back to your mother. So I think it's exciting when you stop and think about that. Now, in Romans 4:2, it speaks about Abraham, because James speaks about Abraham too, and it says this: if Abraham was justified by works, he would have something to boast about, but not before God. He would be boasting before men. So if Abraham was justified by his works, this is what it says. But he wasn't. For what does God, the scripture, say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He actually believed God, and it was counted for righteousness. To him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Grace is undeserved favor. If you work for something, then it's owed to you, right? You're owed something. Well, God doesn't owe you anything. God is giving you what you don't deserve. Be thankful for it. And so he says that if Abraham, it was counted by works, then it was not grace, but it was debt. But to him who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. So it says that it makes it plain here that Abraham was justified before God by his faith, not by his works. But the funny thing is when we go back to this passage, it actually tells us, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Wow, what's going on here? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? The scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see, a man is justified by works and not by faith only. You know, this is not saying that a man is saved by works. We are saved by works, but the evidence of your faith is in your works. That's why the challenge is here. And he gives the example when it starts here. What good is it, my brothers? If someone says he has faith but does not have works, for example, can that faith save him? If there's a brother or sister among you and he's naked and destitute and of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. In other words, oh, I have lots of faith. Oh, God is awesome. Isn't he? Isn't God awesome? Yeah. And meantime, you're sitting there starving and I'm munching on, you know, just shoving her back. And I'm looking at you and saying, oh, God is really good. And I really believe in God. Nom, 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 nom. And you're starving right there in front of me. And, oh, yeah, you go and be warmed and filled. What's the word that rises when you think of this?
Hypocrite,
right? That's hypocrisy. That is, outside, you have this shallow so-called faith in God. You say you believe, but the proof of your belief will be in your works. Because faith actually becomes an action word. By faith, Abraham went. When you go to the Hebrews chapter 11, you find by faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, David trusted in God over and over again, all through the book, the Hebrews chapter 11. Faith produces action. If there is no action, then there's something wrong with that faith. And that is the challenge that we find here in James. James was challenging this church, and you could see he's been challenging it all the way through in in terms of how to deal with temptation, deal with trials, how to deal with one another, to walk in the way of love. That it was evident there were struggles within the churches about how to relate to one another. And a lot of it fell back on this whole caste idea. This idea that some people are better than others. The rich are more important than the poor. And James is telling them, listen guys, if you want to have true Christianity, you better make sure that your faith is in Jesus Christ. Because your faith in Jesus Christ is going to produce good works. And if it's not producing good works, then it's a dead faith. It's not living faith. It's not real faith. And so he says this, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. When God places faith in your soul, when faith and dependence upon God rise up, it's going to bring a change. Now, a person can say they have faith. Lots of people can say that, right? But actual faith produces something. I could tell you all day long that I believe this is a very solid chair. And this chair can stand me standing right up on it. But it's only when I actually get on the chair that I've exercised faith. Right? Now I could say, I believe this chair will hold me up no matter how hard and high I jump on it.
Don't try.
But to tell you the truth, I did this one time on a table and the table collapsed.
Well,
you remember that? Yeah. So I have to say that I don't have complete faith that I can beat this chair to pieces with this 220-pound man and that it's going to handle it. So I might tell you that I have faith that this chair can do that, but it means nothing until I actually do it. Then I've exercised faith. Does that make sense? Real faith produces reality. Dead faith produces nothing at all. And so James is challenging this, and this is why he tells us that faith without works is absolutely dead. There is no reality to that faith. And he gives some pretty good examples of it as we go through this passage. Someone will say, well, you have faith and I have works. And the challenge is, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, the proof is in the pudding. In other words, if there's true faith, there's going to be a transformation in your life. If there's true faith, there will be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Because true faith is actually depending upon God. And if I'm truly depending upon God, then the Spirit of the living God is working in me and is going to work through me and out of me. Does that make sense? So the challenge here is this, because here's what he says in James 2:19. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble. And so he gives the example here. He says, let's think about it for a second. There's a lot of people who say they have faith, they believe. And yet, let me ask you, does the devil believe that Jesus died on the cross?
Yeah.
Does he believe that he rose from the dead?
Yeah.
He was there when it happened. He saw it all happen. But does the devil have faith?
No.
No. So there is a belief that knows that something is true, but that's different. For example, if I know it's true, this chair can hold me up, but it's only when I step on it that I actually have faith. Make sense? So believing that something is true is not faith. Faith is relying on whatever that truth is or whoever that is. Faith is dependence. And that's the difference. So when it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, it doesn't mean whoever believes that he is, but it is whoever believes in him, that is, relies on him or depends upon him. That's what faith actually does. It changes our whole structure. It changes our life. It changes our behavior. Faith is actually what does that. And so the demons believe and tremble. So many times I've spoken with people and they say, well, you know, I believe. And I said, well, you know, the devil believes what you believe. I said, but is it changing your life? Is there reality to this? Because if there's no reality to it, boy, it is an awful thing for someone to have a dead faith and then suddenly stand before Almighty God and find out, I missed the boat. I missed it because I didn't truly believe. Because faith produces works. And that's why he refers to Abraham here. And the justification that Abraham experienced when he offered Isaac on the altar, when it says, was not Abraham our father justified by works? He's not talking about justified by works for salvation, which is what we find in Ephesians 2. It says, by grace you are saved. Here he's not talking about salvation, but he's talking about his faith being justified or being a reality. Faith becomes a reality when it is exercised. What? I mean, if I sit here and I say, I really trust you, Lord. I'm really trusting you, God. But I'm not actually taking one step of faith in my life. That's not trust at all. It's not trust. Faith is actually stepping out and trusting God.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know the word that in the Bible, but it says in there, it says faith.
Yeah.
Right? Is believing in something you cannot see.
That's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1.
Yep.
Yeah. It's the evidence of things not seen. It is actually saying, I'm trusting you, God, even though I can't actually see you, I'm trusting in you. But that trust is not just knowing that he's there, but it's actually living it out. And that is the truth of what faith produces. And that's why he speaks of this here. That faith was working together with his works. And actually what happens when we trust God and when we take steps of faith, we find God to be faithful, right? We find God to be faithful. And so we discover that as we exercise faith with works, faith actually begins to grow. Does that make sense? It actually causes faith to grow as we exercise faith. By living it out, then we begin to discover God is faithful. And it encourages us to trust him even more. And so the scripture was fulfilled. Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. If you take the journey of Abraham and the faith journey that he experienced, and if you haven't, you can go online to our Genesis studies, which we're doing right now, and there is a section on Abraham. He didn't start out perfect. Abraham believed God enough to pack up his gear and leave the land of Ur and head towards the land of Canaan, where he was told to go. But he was also told in the process, he said, I want you to leave your family behind, and I want you to go to the land I've told you. Well, he took his father with him, and he took his nephew Lot with him. So faith wasn't perfect. It was imperfect. He didn't obey God completely right away. And he didn't get all the way to Canaan. He only went halfway to the land of Haran. And he stayed there until his father died. And finally, when his father passed away, he says, okay, I got to move. I got to go further. And actually, if you read later on, you discover that it looks as if he actually probably brought Laban with him too, because Laban was living in Haran whenever Abraham sent for a wife for Isaac. So his faith wasn't perfect all the way. And as he learned to trust God, He learned to trust God. God told him, you stay in Egypt, no, in Canaan. But no, famine came in the land. Instead of trusting God, he went down into Egypt and got himself in trouble. So I'm not telling you that faith has to be perfect. Take the little bit of faith you have and put it in the Lord. And as you do, and as you begin to exercise that faith, then it will grow. You will discover that by exercising faith, and that is the work that is speaking of here, by taking steps of faith, you will see growth in that. Rahab the harlot was justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. Rahab believed that God was with Israel and that the judgment was coming on the city. And so she actually did something about it. There was action involved. And so faith always produces action. Living faith does. Dead faith produces nothing. And this is why it says here in James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead. Does that make sense? No spirit in the body, it's dead. So faith without works is dead also. So that's the challenge that James gives to us. Genuine faith produces the Christian life. It has to. And false faith produces nothing. Dead faith produces nothing. Dead faith is the devil's faith. I want to challenge every one of you today. Make sure that you have living faith in the living God. And the proof of that, if you're wondering, well, I wonder if I have that, is Jesus Christ changing your life? Is your conduct becoming more Christ-like? Because if it's not, then you're living in a dead faith. And all the works that you do, no matter how much you might laud yourself for them, will not earn you a place in God's heaven. Your faith must be in Jesus Christ alone. And then the outflow of that faith is works. It has to be. It must be. If I depend on Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ is going to do something. If I'm not depending on Jesus Christ, he's not going to do anything. Why should he? But if it's Christ that's doing the living in me, the life that I live, now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, is going to produce works. So that's the challenge between faith and works. And James is very practical, and I love that. And I think it has to be real. Because sometimes people are walking around talking about believing in God, and every amount of wickedness is spewing from their mouths and from their lives. And I can tell you, that is a dead faith, and it won't carry. But true faith always produces change. Yes?
Rahab was also saved by her faith.
Yes, she was. Yeah.
She was the ancestor of David.
She was the ancestor of David and, of course, the ancestor of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And, I mean, you know, she wasn't living a good life. She was a harlot. But that didn't matter. God loves people. And Rahab believed God and took those steps of faith and standing with the people of God. And as a result of that, that's exactly what happened.
But it's got to be a true belief, though, when you believe in God to begin with. It's got to be real. You got to have it from the core of your being, from your heart. And then once you're saved and he's in your heart,
yeah.
Okay, we lack that faith sometimes.
Well, as I said, Abraham did. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it's not so much like if only I can believe perfectly, I'll be okay. Because, I mean, even the man who brought his demoniac son said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Right? I mean, none of us have perfect faith all the time. Even when we're converted, it doesn't mean I have perfect faith, but it means that I'm trusting Jesus Christ to be the Savior for my soul. And he takes that faith, and then he begins to work in me and create a dependence upon him, and faith begins to grow, and I begin to exercise that faith. Will I fail? Of course I've failed. It's not that we all have perfect faith. But it is taking the little bit of faith we have and put it in a God who is faithful. And so it's his faithfulness that gets us to the end, but his faithfulness also changes us in the process. It must. It's not just, I put my trust in Christ, I'm going to heaven when I die, and I can live like the devil in between. If you live like the devil in between, you'll go to be with the devil at the end of it all too. That's the truth of the matter. So, Father, we pray that you will encourage us, Lord, and show us the way of true faith, Lord, where we actually surrender our lives into the control and the hands of Almighty God. And that, Lord, we would daily seek your face and daily trust you so that we would live out the works that you've prepared for us. Even before the world began, you had plans. And we want to live in those plans, Lord. So make us sensitive to you, dependent upon you, and may we know and live in true saving faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Let's just give thanks for the food. And please stay and have lunch with us. Father, bless our food. Bless our time together. And Lord, let there be reality among us. Oh God, let us see people saved, but truly saved and truly walking in the good works that you've planned for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.